like sometimes dark spaces with people because the human experience is really fucking dark sometimes. Yeah. And that's okay. Yeah. Healing your root causes, healing your, it all comes from a lack of self-worth too. It's getting into the root of it all. That's where you start. You don't start with the new identity that you're creating because you will never be a vibrational match for it. You might feel it that day, but oftentimes you wake up the next day and that trigger, you're like, what the hell was I thinking? That doesn't bother me at all.
Welcome to episode 49 of Super States, Practices of Transformation with me, your host, Joshua Peters. Super States explores the intersection of using trance states to create personal or professional growth. In each episode of Super States, we talk to experts, industry leaders, revolutionary thinkers, people who share the latest information and tools, along with their own personal stories to inspire us on our journey. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast host or on YouTube so you can stay up to date with new episodes. And if you enjoy this show, if it gives you some value, please give me a 5-star review. That is the best way to help this show grow. This week, I speak with Ali Fitzpatrick. Ali is a spiritual life and manifestation coach who uses Kundalini yoga, meditation, astrology, sound healing, and intuitive guidance to help her clients. She focuses on helping people heal their deepest core wounds and limiting beliefs, working with the nervous system and with neuroscience to create new neural pathways in the brain, fostering safety and trust within oneself to create a new identity. I love what Ali is doing. I am so aligned with what she is. Where she's at. Get ready to dive deep into your unconscious mind now and learn to trust your intuition and follow your path with Ali Fitzpatrick. Welcome to Super States. I am here today with Ali Fitzpatrick. Ali, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Ali, to the people that are frequent listeners to this show, they know exactly what this question is that I'm going to ask you, but I want to know, what's your origin story? How did you get to, actually, before I ask you that, tell us who you are, what you do, how that makes a difference in people's lives.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. So I guess this is probably like my third or fourth iteration of what I'm doing right now, right? Because we all go through these transformations. And so essentially it boils down to being a spiritual life and manifestation coach. And then through that, using different tools towards self-empowerment and self-development throughout the last decade of my life, such as I'm a Kundalini yoga and meditation teacher and lived in India for multiple months. I am an astrologer. I am a sound healer, a mystic, an intuitive. And so with all of these different modalities, it gives me a really, really interesting woven together fabric to help people, right? Like any type of coaching, all you're doing is looking at people's deepest core wounds and limiting beliefs. And I found it really, really fascinating, the different passions that I've had, that I've created a career from. It gives me a different perspective of helping them see and tune into core beliefs in a totally different way. And then through that, where it's really been leading towards right now is blending deep nervous system work with neuroscience to really help create those new neural pathways in the brain to create that safety and trust within yourself to become that new identity, right? Which is just manifestation, becoming that person that you've always wanted to become. But before that, you always have to look at your deepest core beliefs because that is what is holding you back. And I feel like I found a really flippant, amazing hodgepodge solution of different tools to help people do this in really like much quicker and easier ways than I have experienced the last 10 years.
Yeah. I resonate with that because that was my experience too. Like pummel your way through and it's effective, but it takes a little bit of time, and there's simpler ways that we don't really know until maybe we're on the other side of it.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
So share with us that story. So you kind of have hinted at this odyssey, and you've done a lot. I know before we jumped on this call, I was Facebook stalking you, and you do have all of these different modalities that you're working through. And so how did you get here? Yeah. Like, tell us your origin story.
Yeah. So I'm going to say it's two parts that right now I'm discovering a deep part of my own childhood wounding and like traumas that I, right? Like you, to ever become a match for anything, you actually have to heal all of that energy and move it and integrate it. And so that I would say is a major, major part of my story that I'm still unraveling right now and understanding, woof, like how much you can actually share of it. Because the first place I ever tell anyone to go when you're manifesting, no, don't do 1,000 affirmations. Literally go heal your childhood trauma, because that is what's going to help you become a vibrational match for what you want. And so like that I'm realizing is a major, major part of my story. And because of like emotional abuse and being a parentified child and having to be a caretaker at the age of 3 and like all of these roles that I took on just to get love, right? Like just to get love as a child and survive, I wound up as a professional actor. As a professional concert pianist, because I was so used to putting on roles and putting on a mask because I knew exactly what to do and how to show up. And I was a really, really good actor. And a part of me loved it, but it never, ever, ever felt authentic. And because so much of who I am and why I came to this planet is to be a truth seeker and a truth liver. And what I've realized is not, it's weirdly a little bit easier for me because of probably my 0-degree Sun Aquarius, which is like, all I know is the frequency of truth and authenticity. And so the more and more I dove down this route of personal development and healing, spiritual development, I realized further like how far away I was from why I was actually supposed to be here on this planet. And so I love my past. I am so, so, so grateful for the, you know, 27 years that I was part of that world, you know, like starting at the age of 5, 6. That's a major part of my life. But because of that, I am an incredible, incredible storyteller. And a motivational speaker and meditation guide and right, like being able to do what I do now, I was always meant to do it. I just got to it in a really roundabout way. Right. And so when I was in New York after grad school, that's where I did my grad school for musical theater. I was acting and I, not that I hated life, but I wasn't happy and I wasn't really fulfilled and soul aligned. And I had gone through 3 different health coaching, life coaching, spiritual coaching programs with my coach. And I decided to go into integrative wellness and health coaching after doing her programs. And I remember the moment exactly. It's the first moment I actually listened to, like I heard and listened to my intuition, and it was crossed because I live right in like Times Square, Hell's Kitchen, with my partner at the time. And we were crossing 9th Avenue. And I was like, Pete, I have to give up acting now, maybe not for forever, but just for right now, and explore whatever this is, because something is here for me with this and I don't know what it is. And that, Joshua, was the first moment that legitimately changed my life. The next moment that I remember is when for some reason, but there's always a reason, right? Like there's always a reason that everything aligns how it does. I was supposed to be getting a few part, not even part-time, full-time positions. I've never worked just like a 9-to-5 job in my life, but I'm like, oh, that's what you do, getting like stable income. And I was promised these positions at a company I worked part-time at, and I didn't get them. And I sat back and I was like, okay, maybe it's because I'm supposed to be doing my Kundalini yoga. Okay. And first off, I had never taken a full class. I had only done like random Gabby Bernstein meditations, but for some reason I was like, I think I'm supposed to be teaching Kundalini yoga. And I Googled, there was nowhere in Minnesota. The first place that popped up was my ashram in India. I took about a week. And I, the last night before I realized it, I was meditating, I did some chanting, and yeah, I pulled the chariot and I was like, I think I'm going to India. And like less than a month later, I was in India. And that was the next moment that my life, it's like all of these big moments in my life have happened because of these profound dropped in moments of realized intuition. And that was the next moment that completely changed my life's trajectory and what I'm doing today.
What I like about that is, first of all, you followed your intuition. Number one, how many people actually take the time to do that? Like, I know I struggle with that. I'll usually hear my intuition after the fact when I did the wrong thing. But
can I stop you there for one second?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the reason why most people don't actually hear their intuition is because it's not their intuition. It's an activated nervous system, because most of us are hardwired for chaos. So our nervous systems don't know what safety feels like. And so how can you actually trust what's coming through? You can't, because oftentimes your intuition is actually a gut response that is an activation of a trauma response or wounded, not your authentic intuition. And so that is one of the first places I work on with my clients, is building that trust and safety within yourself to allow the space to actually hear your intuition. Because I'm guessing you've done a fair amount of work to get you to a place of like, okay, this is just activation. It's not my intuition, right? Most people haven't done that work, and that's okay. It's absolutely okay. But you have to make the discernment. Otherwise, your intuition is literally just leading you in cycles and perpetuating chaos. And what you're not supposed to, well, it's still a lesson, but you're just going to be repeating the lesson.
Right. So thank you for that. The other thing that came up for me in your conversation was how you said, You kind of implied that you took a little bit of a detour with your acting career, but I might say that acting career actually set you up to having success, like you said, where you are now, where now you can speak easily, you know how to lead people through a meditation. My wife also is an actor, also went to theater school. She is very, very good at all of those things too. Mm-hmm. And one of the fascinating things about acting school is the personal development piece of it, because there's a lot of it and it's all different. At least how she described it to me, like it's a lot of different improv things, different ways of figuring out how you do things, how to tune into different aspects of yourself. Just really fascinating to me how much
so
in the personal development world.
I'm also acting. Wondering, yeah. Well, I'm also wondering though how old your wife was, because I was 23 when I started grad school. I did not, like, if I was older, absolutely I could have had those lenses, but because your brain is literally still being formed even at that age. Uh-huh. I didn't have the tools, the skill set. Like, actually, I don't, not that I wouldn't recommend it, but it was really detrimental to my psychosomatic state and to all of my classmates, just because there was no, like, we were method acting for 16 hours a day. And when you don't have a therapist or a coach to help you through,
yeah,
it's really, really rough on your mental and emotional states, sure. Which is beautiful because it was all part of my journey to get me to where I am. And to be able to hold really, really deep, like sometimes dark spaces with people because the human experience is really fucking dark sometimes. Yeah. And that's okay. Yeah.
It's part of all, it's just all different experiences, right? That's uh-huh. shadow work, right? Exploring those dark parts.
Uh-huh. Just in safe ways is hopefully where our collective consciousness is moving, is all I want to say.
So in your journey that you just described of, starting out as an actor, having those two moments, what would you say was the biggest lesson that came out of that for you?
Do you mean with like hearing my intuition and following it?
Yeah. With trusting yourself, with, deciding
trust, I would say, yeah. Because if I would not have, I probably would have gotten there, but anytime we don't listen, it further and further leads, it just takes more time. So looking back, I was able to see why that needed to happen in the exact way that it did. Because with those moments, I'm an astrologer. I look back, there were things happening within my chart that I don't think, the universe would have literally kept shoving it in my face of like, you need to go do this now, because now is your literal time and this is your soul contract right now. And so understanding that has given me such a dropped in understanding of myself and of trusting myself and of recognizing when is this out of clinging or activation and fear, right? Because it's just out of fear, our ego's afraid, versus when your intuition really speaks, it's expansive and it's trusting and it's knowing and it's slow and you don't need to, right? Like I didn't say, oh my God, I'm going to India tomorrow. I said, you know what? If it's still for me, it's still going to be for me. And a week later, it was still for me, right? And so it's also giving the space of like, sure, things can happen at that expedited rate. And that's never going to be intuition. Your intuition is... it's not always gentle, but like it never is rushed. It's always just expansive and it's trusting and it's knowing. And those are the biggest takeaways I would have, like those biggest lessons, because now I can trust I've built that up within myself to trust and to know even when it doesn't make sense to anybody else. And right, like Joshua, what we know doesn't make sense because no one is having our experience. And so honestly, another major lesson that like I want to share about that and how it's been able to be brought forward into my life today is that a lot of people are not able to hold your perspective. It's okay. Like unless people have done a certain amount of work to be able to hold another perspective and be like, oh my God, I don't understand that, but like, if that's what feels true for you, that is absolutely what you need to know right now, right? Like it is, because you know it. And so trusting what you know, and just because someone else doesn't understand it, it does not mean that it's invalid, because they're not supposed to. It's not their experience, it's yours. And so the more you can just trust it and validate yourself and have the people in your social circle who understand it and be like, fuck yeah, like yes, of course, like absolutely. And it doesn't need to, I don't care. This is not mine. This is yours, but I am here to support you. Like we all need those actual energies in our life, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like those two things of that trust and holding that, being in trusting in your perspective too, it still comes back to trust, really. Those are vital. So you started out with doing the training as a Kundalini yoga practitioner, but that's not quite what you do now.
Well, so I first started health coaching.
Health coaching, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then spiritual coaching. And then I went to India for a few months, a couple times, and lived there in Rishikesh, where I immersed myself 16 hours a day at my ashram. and so I did my training 500 hours for Kundalini, for Yin, for my Reiki 1 and 2, which Reiki, when you go to like This is where I say always, 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 if you can, go to the birthplace of where things are. Like, study with masters, because it will give you lifetimes of experience. It was a profound experience. And then my own, even though I'm a musician and a percussionist and pianist, I still wanted to do some sound healing training. And so I did mine over there. And then I basically spent the last 3.5-4 years piecing all of it together. So I still teach. I love it. I will never not teach, but I teach maybe 2 classes, if that, a month of Kundalini, and it's always on my own. I don't like working for other people in studios, and it's my Aquarius. I'm like, I want to do what I want to do. And so Wednesday nights, it might be Kundalini. It might be some type of cosmic event. It might be a cacao ceremony. Vanessa and I do breathwork sound baths and like channeling and some coaching. It just depends on what's happening. So being able to blend it all. And then in my coaching, I mean, I've realized a lot of people Kundalini energy is an energy that expands your nervous system. But if your nervous system is fried and it's like this, right? Like if your spinal cord and the energy is like this, there's no space inside. And so what do we need to do? We have to create that safety and that trust and that space within your nervous system. And so that's where we go to first. And then I like to bring in some Kundalini meditations, kriyas, whatever for that specific client.
You're talking my language with all of this. That safety with the nervous system is step one. If you don't have that, then you're just talking to an activated fight and flight response and not to an actual person.
Mm-hmm. And also, you probably know it and teach, right? Like, we don't know and teach what write and teach what we know. I mean, people can, but you write and teach what you know, like from your heart. Like, I'm guessing it's a lived experience of you living with an activated nervous system to realize, like, you can't live a full, authentic, embodied life until you move through and process and get to that place. At least that's been my own journey.
Yeah. What would you say is most misunderstood about, let's say, manifestation, since I know that's kind of one of the top things that you help people with?
Yeah, that it's not, I said it in the beginning, it's not reciting 1,000 affirmations and being like, oh my gosh, the law of attraction, I'm just gonna think it and become it. That's not how it works. Like, what I have been deeply understanding with, I have deeply researched quantum physics, and that is what manifestation is. Healing is such a major part of it. Healing your root causes, it all comes from a lack of self-worth too, and a lack of self-love. And so it's getting into the root of it all. That's where you start. You don't start with the new identity that you're creating, because you will never be a vibrational match for it. And so once you start to heal down here, it shifts the energy and allows the space for the subconscious to then deeply actually reprogram those neural pathways and your nervous system. And so I would say that's a major misconception that I have found, of that, like, it really is that easy. Like, once you do it, it is that easy, but there are different steps involved that people are like, oh, I really want instant gratification and I want the easy way out. And it can be easy. It's just, it's a little more multifaceted than you mm-hmm. realize until you realize it and practice it.
So find, heal those, think of them like beliefs or core wounds or childhood traumas or past experiences, however you want to think about it. Heal those things first. And then that, so it's not really about convincing yourself that you're going to have the thing that you want. It's about being the kind of person that already has those things.
100%, but you can't be that person if your subconscious is never aligning you with that person, right? Because manifestation isn't like trying to do anything. You don't try to do anything. You become the person that already has it. You become the person thinking those thoughts, doing those things already. And so if what is happening to you already on a cellular level, we know that what is in here is just a mirror of out there. The universe, it may take a little bit of time because our three, whatever we're living right now is a compilation of all of our past beliefs, right? Thoughts, beliefs, actions. So right now, literally, the other major misconception, circumstances legitimately do not matter because your life can change in an instant. Once, even in an instant, that's why I'm like, if you heal one core belief, you will potentially have that, you could have that domino effect that completely changes your life trajectory, right? Mm-hmm. To become that person. So it's just a shifting of, it's a shifting of identity, right? Yeah. And I use the example a lot of, you can't listen to two radio stations at the same time. So if this is who you want to be, but you're but you keep going back in time, back to past patterns, back to past people, past relationships, past thought forms,
yeah,
of who you're trying to move away from, you're moving this further and further away by not healing and just cutting this shit off. It might be hard. Yeah, like sometimes it is. However, if it is truly in alignment, because we know there are infinite potentialities out there, you become this person with new expectations, new beliefs about the world, new beliefs about how people show up for you. People, I promise you, will start to show up for you in that way. You will have it mirrored back to you because you've now quantum leaped or jumped onto a different timeline because every single potentiality exists. To the potentiality where you are that person, right? Mm. And that's so fucking cool. Like, why would you not want to do that?
It's hard.
It's hard. Is it though? Is it?
It's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Obviously I'm with you, but... But it is a big step for some people to take really when all step. You know is one thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to even imagine there could be something else available to you.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to start to shift these types of core beliefs, what's a practical way a person could do that, could start?
Well, I mean, you're a hypnotherapist. Hypnotherapy. I mean, you don't always need to do like these giant past regressions, right? Like yeah. I do, all it takes is getting you into the theta brainwave state. Go do some joke. Honestly, go do, they're $25 or you can, I think, get some of them on iMusic, iTunes. But like Joe Dispenza has incredible ways of connecting you to the quantum field and getting into your subconscious. His meditations, they're the ones I typically do. Hypnotherapy, you can do it by yourself, going in, starting to reprogram memories from that you might not even cognitively remember, but your inner children, because we all have 8 inner children within us, starting to go back to those developmental stages where you got stunted. And starting to heal those places through reprogramming, through finding safety, through just that validation, love, and connection with those parts of yourself that do need to be reclaimed. Another one that I absolutely love and I bring into my coaching is EFT tapping, because it not only... regulates your nervous system, regulates your emotions, you start to clear the limiting beliefs and you get to reprogram new ones at the same time because you're tapping on the different meridian points, activating those channels within parts of your brain and parts of your being and nervous system at the same time, which is really freaking cool. And those are like, those are big ones. Meditation, breath work, not just like all meditation, not just all breath work, right? Like there does need to be an intention behind it. And oftentimes it's a facilitator guiding you through, to help you really work with those underlying beliefs.
Great. Is there anything that people need to be aware of when they're starting to do these kinds of this kind of work?
Yeah. Oh my God, exactly like you said. I'm like going to start crying. It can be really fucking hard and it can be really fucking dark. Like when you've pushed away some of the deepest, darkest parts of yourself and you're like, I'm going to pretend like this doesn't exist. When you are finally ready to open it, it can feel like a Pandora's box and it can feel hopeless and it can feel never ending. Ah, the other modality that I don't know how I forgot about, but this is the one that I recommend to everybody. I never recommend talk therapy, but I do recommend brain spotting because trauma gets stored in different areas of our brain. And by focusing on that area for a set of, I don't know, it's like 20 to 45 minutes. I've done it in my sessions. Your brain will literally work itself through the trauma and then you can reprogram it to what you actually want. It's insane what I have worked through with brain spotting and EFT tapping.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I would never, I don't know if I'd say I'd never recommend like jumping full in by yourself. If you can have support and you can afford it or you can find it, please get it because this is a solitary journey that we do together. Like we're not meant to do this alone. I've already done 15 years work of this work. So being able to clear out these last things, the last couple of months, it happened really fast, but I also have other support that's helping me. And so we're not meant to do it by ourselves and it helps the right person, right? Like it also has to feel like a safe person that you trust and that your nervous system trusts. And if you don't feel that safety to be able to actually open, to authentically express, go find someone else, please. There are billions of people on this planet. You do not need to settle when it is with your healing and growth and evolution because the right person is there.
Yeah. And there are they're literally everywhere you are. There are people that can help you. And most of them, if they're not the right person for you, they can introduce you to somebody that is the right person for you.
100%.
That's great. Allie, how do you, when you think of, so really what we're talking about here are different ways of altering our consciousness to make changes in our consciousness.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interest in this type of work these days. It seems like it's really growing more and more. What are you excited about as far as the future of altered states?
Well, I think I'm most excited that like it's helping you tap into the quantum field that we all exist in, which is the realm of possibility that it's just innate to me, but like most people have never experienced that before, right? And so being able to open people's perspectives up to like, holy shit, this isn't the only thing. This isn't the only way. There are countless ways. Oh my God, what? That's really freaking cool, right? That like, it doesn't have to be just this way. There can be another way. And there is not just one way for everybody. And that's where I just like, I get a little nervous. I don't know. Because, yeah.
what makes you, where does the nervousness come from?
Well, so with the rise of like plant medicine, people are just getting addicted to it. They're not integrating anything. We're not meant to run about our lives in those. That's why I like saying altered states. I'm like, oof, I don't like those altered states. No, because that's literally just escapism. sure, if you do it once to like get you to the actual root of it, abso-fucking-lutely. But other than that, it's just escapism. And we chose to be here on planet Earth to have these human experiences, right? And so that's why I'm like, actually using it for the betterment of evolution, absolutely. And there are other ways.
Yeah, for sure. You know? For sure. And when I say altered states, that's plant medicine is one of them. But I mean, EFT is an altered state. But
hypnosis, right? Is an altered state.
Hypnosis is an altered
state. Right? Because exactly. It all activates the DMT with, right, like within your brain, which gives you the exact same experience. And so I just wish more people understood that, of like, you could actually go home and just fucking breathe by yourself and get to the same place as going on like a psilocybin trip.
Yeah. Well, when you are doing breath work, is there a style of breath work that you're practicing?
So I don't facilitate anything other than like different forms of Kundalini breath work.
Okay. Yeah.
And I facilitate. I have gone through different forms of breath work when I don't always feel aligned, because it feels very invasive and masculine to my system and it doesn't feel very safe. So I don't often lean towards breath work for myself, but like I've had insanely profound experiences with like holotropic, with shamanic, with infinite breath. And so I absolutely see the benefit. And when my soul feels aligned, I've just like for myself, meditation has gotten me to those places, but in very bizarre ways. It's like meditating for, you know, half an hour to an hour in India chanting with a group of people, where, or like during brain spotting, I had a very, it's basically like meditating. And I had a very similar experience as a psilocybin journey I went on. And I'm like, holy shit, we can get to these places with nothing else other than us activating that part of our brain, you know?
Yeah. Especially if you've had an experience like that, it's stored. And it's and it's not hard to re-experience it again with just a little bit of with some words like guiding you there, or even just things happening that kind of take you back to remind you of that.
Mm-hmm. It's really, it's so fucking cool. It is so cool. And I'm so grateful that like the collective is now open to, I would say, other forms of spirituality, right? Like making spirituality more tangible.
Yeah. It's an experiential spirituality rather than a watched spirituality, like which is my experience with kind of religion, right? It's more like you're in the audience rather than in the show.
And embodied.
Embodied, yeah. Yeah. Which makes sense when you say the group meditation experience that you had. When you're with a group of people, there's something else that happens there that's bigger than just an individual. I'm really curious about brain spotting, because you've talked about it a couple times. I've never experienced it. Can you just describe what the process is like? Like, are you watching a screen where you're seeing something, or how does it work?
So it's literally, it's just like a metal tool that they have. And then on the end is, I mean, my therapist has little like different crystals, and I will intuitively choose which crystal.
Okay.
For that session. And she puts it on the end and she tests 9 different places. So 3 on the middle, 3 up above, like, so right, middle, left, and then she goes bottom, right, middle, left. And this is where it gets tricky, because I've done so much work. And so people never really have to explain things. I just know it. And so if it's your first time doing it, you would essentially, if you don't know the core belief or like experience, right? Because it can literally just be a traumatic experience or a trigger that keeps happening. You could bring it in. You let your full body feel into it. Where are you feeling it? Where in your physical body are you feeling it? What is the thought and the feeling? And then you test it and you go along to each of these 9 places. and they will be able to see and notice where the activation is. But 9 times out of 10, you're I just end up bawling. Like, it doesn't matter where it goes. You just know, and that's where you stop, and your gaze stays there. The therapist doesn't say a thing. And essentially, so my own process, I don't know what they would tell someone at the beginning, but what I do is whatever needs to come out, whatever shitty thing, whatever I'm telling myself about why this isn't possible, why I'm a piece of crap, whatever it might be, whatever wants to come through, all that negative garbage from the subconscious mind, it comes through first. And then it gets to a place of acceptance. And then, because of the work that I've done of reprogramming, it gets to then, it starts to reprogram it with what I want to believe and with who I want to be and with the experience now that I want to have. And so, example, my last one from last week, because I am in a major, like, Pluto on top of my sun right now, which is all about death of your identity when it conjuncts your sun. I buried myself. I literally grieved all the last 35 years of who I've been. And I watched myself bury myself. And I went to my grave. Like, that's the shit that comes up. But it needed to come up to get me to a place of pure equilibrium and acceptance. Just like EFT tapping, you just accept it. You accept it and you love it and you send it love. You let all the crap come through first. And then you can move towards what you want to see happen is basically what, and you can say things. I don't say a word. It literally all just happens in my mind. And you might feel it that day, but oftentimes you wake up the next day and that trigger, you're like, what the hell was I thinking? That doesn't bother me at all. What? And it's just like, you don't have to do a thing. Which I was talking with one of my best friends last night, who's another Kundalini teacher, and one of our master teachers talked about how trauma, addictions, all of that shit is stored in our auric field, in our auric body, and it's stored in different placements within our aura. Link that up with trauma, guessing it's the same place that trauma is stored that is linking up to the addiction that you have or that behavior that you have that might be toxic, that might be unhealthy, work. Right? Like all of it, if you just work with your trauma, it starts to resolve all of the unhealthy patterning, which is so wild, right? Like our aura, our electromagnetic field holds all of it and it holds our traumas and our brain does the same thing.
Yeah. It's all just so fascinating how much we are actually learning about now that we can measure these things, right? Because before, a lot of this stuff has been talked about. A lot of these practices were developed before there was a way of actually measuring what's going on in the brain. Mm-hmm. Now we have new tools and we're finding that, yes, all those things that we've been doing for thousands of years, they actually make changes in the brain. They physically change what is going on. And so it's all just really amazing to hear your, you know, like that experience, but all these other experiences, how they can help people.
Yes. And
somehow we knew that. Somehow we figured it out without needing technology to do that.
And I'm guessing like you, we have to sometimes be the ones to go through it. Like I will never recommend anything that I have not tried and has worked for me.
Yeah.
Even people. I will not do it. And so I'm okay getting thrown into the deep end because now I'm like, every single thing I will give you, I promise it will change your life. If you just trust me, it will change your life.
Yeah. What I really like about your experiences is that exactly how, like, you literally went to India and learned from masters on these things and then spent quite a bit of time investing in yourself and then brought all that back. So I appreciate you going first like that. It's not everyone does that.
Not everyone's meant to.
Allie, if somebody wants to learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah. take me out for coffee? I don't. fine, Sirius. You can. I'm guessing my website will be linked, but if you go to AllieFitzpatrick.com, that'll have quite a bit of my own story. It will have different offerings that I do because I do a lot of different readings, like astrology, human design. We can do transit readings, look ahead readings, numerology, tarot. I do private sound baths, private tarot parties. And then you can find all the events that I do, as well as, I'm kind of, because of now, as you can hear, the coaching has pretty drastically shifted. And so I'm still revamping my coaching session to more articulately say what I do, but you'll still get a sense of the coaching that I do.
So. Okay, great. I will make sure to, as you said, have all those links available in the show notes. And what is the one insight that you'd like the audience to leave with today?
My God, my first one was, and then I like pulled myself back. I'm like, oh no, but always trust yourself. Like, trust yourself. Build the muscle to actually trust yourself and validate the hell out of yourself. Because you're the only one that knows you and your experience and what you need and what is meant for you and what you're supposed to be learning or not learning is one. And everything is always working out in your favor, even if you can't see it in this moment.
I love that. Thank you so much for being here with me, Allie.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.